G'day guys. How's it going? So I'm going to preach it up in a bathrobe tonight, just see how that goes, see if that helps, hold your attention, I don't know, just give it a go. Who here has actually had breakfast for dinner sometime lately? Who's had breakfast for dinner sometime this year? Occasionally we have the pancakes and sausages in our house as a Sunday night treat. Anyone had breakfast for dinner like in the last month? Oh wow, you guys are all over it. Nice. Who's going to have some breakfast for dinner tonight? You're all over that. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. Yummy. I played a bit of hide and seek as a kid and I had a goal. When I played hide and seek as a kid, like my ultimate aim was to be able to hide so well that the friends that were seeking me out would leave in absolute despair. You know, when you find that spot where you can see them and they just can't find you and they're walking past and it's like, yes, cannot see me, this is awesome, and they end up absolutely shattered and broken individuals because they cannot find you, and you're like, yes, how good is this? If I carried that same attitude into games of hide and seek with my two-year-old daughter, I would be a horrible dad. I really would be. I just want to show a picture of said two-year-old daughter. I wish this had been a game of hide and seek, but it wasn't. If I show the next slide, that's what I first saw. I'd heard a bit of noise, then I heard her not making any noise during nap time, and I peek open, and I see that, and then, like, I open the door, can't quite open it all the way because her feet are hanging over the edge, and it's in the way of the door, so I'm, like, slowly sort of, like, trying to push her feet and then open the door, and sure enough, she's fallen asleep on the bookshelf. So next to that is her cot, and she got out of the cot and directly onto the bookshelf, went over, turned the light on. I know that much for sure, and I know that at some point after that, she fell asleep exactly like that on the bookshelf. Anyway, absolutely gorgeous. That's Sephora. If I was to have that attitude of just wanting to win and just wanting to own my kids, when I played hide and seek, I would be a horrible dad. That would be an awful thing to do. Maybe a little bit fun, but it would be an awful, awful thing to do, wouldn't it? And just like if I'm setting up an Easter egg hunt for my kids and I take that same attitude, make it really, really hard, crush them, I'd be a horrible dad. So when I played hide and seek now, like my number one goal is to be found. So Zipporah, when she finds me, she is absolutely loving it, so I'm loving it. So I make noises and do the absolute opposite of what I used to do so that I can be found. I don't hide the Easter eggs in an Easter egg hunt from my daughter. I hide them for my daughter. There's a big difference. I want my kids to be seekers. Seekers go after things they don't yet possess. And a seeker that really, really wants something will do whatever they can to get it and will take whatever help they can get. To use the hide and seek analogy, probably played in games where the seeker finds a couple of people and then the people that were hiding end up helping the seeker to find the other people. And if you're one of those people that's still hiding and someone with inside knowledge tips off the seeker as to where you are, that really sucks. But if you are the seeker and all you care about is finding people, yeah, it's pretty good. It works. If you are really seeking after stuff, if there's stuff that's really important, sometimes it's worth doing whatever it takes in order to find it. I want you to picture a scenario of an English hunter. Classic English hunter. Why is that English hunter so confident that he's going to find that pheasant? He's got a gun. Let's say he's confident he's going to kill it. But why is he confident that he's going to actually find it in the first place? Anyone? Yeah, it's the nose and the legs. Not his nose, not his legs. It's the dog's nose and the horse's legs that are going to get him there. So he uses something else to help him seek out his prize. Or a similar thing in a totally different way. If someone's seeking justice, say you have this tiny kid in the playground that's seeking justice from the school bully. Why is he so confident to go up to said bully when that bully is absolutely massive and he's tiny? It's probably because he's got the teacher right next to him or his massive big brother. Changes everything, doesn't it? Or why is the 16-year-old McDonald's employee who does one shift a week super confident when seeking out the ultimate first car? Because his long-lost, totally loaded uncle is going to buy that car for him. Sometimes it helps in a massive way when we have someone on our side when we're trying to seek out something. Some of you know where I'm going with this. When seeking, who we have with us can make a world of difference. So my first question for you tonight, no, actually, it's not my first because I asked you about the breakfast for dinner thing. Anyway, my next question for you tonight, always correct, my next question for you tonight is, what are you seeking? Deep. Nice tie-in. I like it. Long lost rich uncle. For those that missed it, that's fantastic. I think for a lot of us, it's just like, what am I seeking? I'm seeking like the best option. Like, I just want the best thing. I want the best option out of everything that I can have. So I want you to consider this. Pause for a moment and think. If there is a God who is infinitely strong and can do whatever he wants, he is infinitely righteous, so that everything that he does is right and good. He is infinitely wise, so that he only ever makes the best possible choice. And he's infinitely loving, so that he uses all of that power and all of that righteousness and all of that wisdom to work for our best outcome. When you pause to consider that, it should blow our minds that this same God invites us to ask him for things. He says, ask me. So a God that can do whatever he wants, that loves us to bits, totally capable, totally willing. And he says, ask me. We're going to look at one of those occasions when he does. One passage of scripture in the Bible where he invites us to ask him for stuff. And this comes in Matthew chapter 7. So this is the third chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, perhaps the most famous sermon in history. Jesus has this massive crowd in front of him, and it says that he takes his disciples, goes up onto a hill. We assume that the crowd is there as well as the disciples. He tells them a whole bunch of things, and he blows their minds. And this is one of the things that he says. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Tonight I have an aim. I have a purpose. You're like, good, you're doing your job, Shane. You're talking and not just doing it without a reason. My aim is that you would wrestle with this particular question, the next question that I'm going to ask you. And maybe even tonight you would surrender to this question. Why would we turn anywhere else? Every single day we have all sorts of things that come before us. We have things that we're asking for, things that we want. Why would we turn anywhere else other than to God? We're going to have a look at this particular passage. Go forward to the next slide, which has got a little bit of highlighting on it. See, first of all, there's four things I want to bring out from this passage. The first one is that he invites us to pray. And as you look at that, you see those words highlighted three different words, and it's like repeated twice. So God invites us to pray. It's like he's saying, I really mean this. Ask, seek, knock. I'm repeating because I really, really want you to enjoy your Father's help. This is Jesus speaking to us and encouraging us to ask. Don't be shy. Ask. Second point, so he invites us to pray. The second point is, not only does he invite us to do it, he makes promises to us if we will pray. And so we see as we look at the second slide, those seven different promises that are there. So the asker receives, the seeker finds, the knocker has the door opened, and that's repeated again, the same thing, slightly different wording, but to receive, to find, to get the open door. And then you have that last line, essentially saying your Father is going to give you good gifts. This is good news. He makes promises to us if we do pray. We should pray to him. It's not in vain that we pray. It's not these words that we're just speaking out into the atmosphere that don't go anywhere. These are words that go to the Father who hears them, who promises to respond, not only in, I'm going to say something back to you, but I'm going to actually give you things. It's an amazing promise. So we should pray confidently. He answers when we pray. There's also, if we go to the next slide, one word that I want to pull out. The start of verse 8. Everyone. For everyone who asks, receives. That's a pretty broad, sweeping statement right there. Everyone who asks, receives. If you're looking for an asterisk on that, I would say there probably is an asterisk. And that is if you go to the next section of this, it talks about your Father. So I would say, as long as he is your Father, then you fit into the everyone category. The only condition is that you would be his child. If he is your Father, ask and you will receive. Why would we turn anywhere else? Number three, he is always available. Not only does he give us repetition, but he gives us variety. This thing of ask. Who says ax, the other one? Can't quite say ask. Anyone have that? Anyone? Don't need to confess, it's fine. So he gives us three different statements, and there's similarities between ask and seek and knock. But I want you to think about me with Zipporah again. Can we get that other picture of Zipporah up, please? So imagine, like, I'm there, we're at the kitchen table, and Zipporah has got some Play-Doh, and I'm right there with her. And she has a question to ask me. And she says, that's her waiting for Christy, waiting for Christy to come home. Christy taking the photo, how cute is that? So she says, Daddy, do you want some pasta? She's got a plate with some Play-Doh on it. Give me some pasta. And I respond appropriately as any father would. Imagine that same scenario, because I'm right there. She just has to ask. Imagine the same scenario where she's at the table, but I'm not. I'm in the lounge. Not a particularly big house that we live in. And so she notices I'm not at the table, looks around. Oh, spots me after wandering just a little way, finds me in the lounge room. Daddy, do you want some pasta? Same scenario again. She's at the table, she's got her Play-Doh, but I'm in the bedroom. Can't find me. Looks around for a little while, still can't find me, and then hears a voice. Goes, oh, that's Daddy. He's in the bedroom. And she comes up. She's not quite able to open our bedroom door, which has its advantages. But anyway, so she knocks on the door, and then I open it, welcome her in, and she says, Daddy, would you like some pasta? I don't know why I did a British accent just then, but she gets the same access, but in three different ways. Are you picking up on this? So ask, seek, knock. For many of us, we've had experiences, maybe at Easter camp, where it's like God is right there. We're sitting at the table with him. We can see him. Our focus is on him. We know that he's right there. And so we talk to him. There's that sense of intimacy and, oh, he's right here. I get to chat with my Father God. However, I'm sure all of us can relate to times when it's not so obvious where he is. And so we're there and we might have to actually not just look around, but actually move our feet and go and search and to find, where is he? And there's other times where there's actually obstacles that are in our way. What I think it's saying is this. It doesn't matter whether you find God immediately close at hand, almost touchable with his nearness, or hard to see and even with barriers in between. He will hear and he will give good things to you because you look to him and not to another. This one is really relevant for me in this whole thing with Zipporah. Zipporah, more than her three older siblings, has, like, mum, Christy, is like up here. Daddy Shane is like somewhere around here. And so if she ever has a choice of like, do I go to mum, do I go? It's a no-brainer. She's going to go to mum every single time. So if she ever comes to me first, like, my heart is melted. And I'm just like, whatever you want, Zipporah. That could turn against me at some point, I know, but it's just the way it is. My heart melts when my daughter comes and chooses me. My daughter says, I want to be with you, Daddy. I choose you. My heart melts. There's nothing like it. And there is a massive similarity with our Father God. His heart melts when we choose him over the myriad of other things that we could invest in. How many times do we go to other people or other things instead of going to God first? God will answer and God will be so rapt because we have chosen him first rather than going to someone or something else. Why would we turn anywhere else? Let's go to this Father that loves us. Let me just touch on that a bit more. We are coming to our Father. This is my fourth point. We are coming to our Father. Please, do not let the relationship or lack of relationship that you have with your earthly Father stop you from experiencing all that your Heavenly Father wants you to experience. If it hasn't worked out well up to this point with your dad, for whatever reason, that sucks. And I'm sorry. But your Heavenly Father is not the reflection of your earthly Father. He's the perfection of your earthly Father. He loves you to bits. There's this passage as we continue on. It says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? But this interesting phrase that comes up, but you, even though you are evil, so Jesus speaking to a crowd, including his disciples, even though you are evil, it's like, come on, tell us what you really think of us, Jesus. Come on, what's going on? Jesus knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we really like. And he just points that out. His point here, though, is saying that even though you have the wrong motives so much of the time, even though you mess up so much of the time, you guys, he's speaking to an audience which includes a whole heap of dads, even though you guys know how to give good gifts, you guys know how to give good gifts to your kids, even though you are evil. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? How much more? We have a Father who is so loving, so powerful, so amazing. Let's not get him confused with our earthly fathers. It's interesting that ends with not a question mark. Not how much more? How much more? How much more? How much more? So far beyond. If earthly fathers can get it partly right, God gets it totally right. And it's not like he says, what? How dare you ask me to heal your broken leg? Imbecile. Actually, I'm going to break your other leg. Boom. It doesn't happen. God is a good God with good things in store for us. When we ask him, he delivers. Of course, it doesn't mean that we get everything we want. It doesn't mean every time we ask for something, we get just what we want, just when we want it, in just the way that we want it. Just like how I don't give Zipporah a lolly every time she wants one. There's some things that I know that Zipporah doesn't. And there's a whole pile of things that my Heavenly Father knows that I don't know. So I can ask him for things, it doesn't mean it's the best thing. But it tests our faith, doesn't it? When we don't get what we want, or we don't get it when we want it, or in the way that we want it, it tests our faith. But this does not say, ask and you will receive the very thing you ask for when you ask for it in the way you ask for it. It doesn't say that. The reality is, if we thought something else was better for us, we would have asked for that, wouldn't we? However, God knows what is best. We are not God. If we got everything we wanted, if I got everything that I asked for, and I knew that whatever I asked for, I would get, that pretty much makes me God, doesn't it? And I'm not cut out for that job. I don't think you are either. It is good for me and good for all of you that I am not God. It is good that he is God. We are not infinitely strong or infinitely righteous or infinitely good or infinitely wise or infinitely loving. And therefore, it's a great mercy to us and to the world that we don't get all that we ask. However, do not lose this point that when you ask, you will receive. When you seek, you will find. When you knock, it will be open to you. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Why would we turn anywhere else? Guys, I want you to pray. I want your first response to be to pray. That to be your go-to thing. Not if you're desperate or if things are really bad, that's when you pray, but it's just your go-to thing. And that's my hope, that you'd wrestle with that question. Why would you go anywhere else? And that you would come up with an answer which includes you committing yourself to pray and to pray first. I want to put it out. I'm going to pray in just a minute, but I want to put out there the opportunity for baptism for this term, for those, whether you're a leader or whether you're youth, and you're like, I'm seriously considering getting baptized. I want to let everyone know that he is my Father and that I love him and I'm putting my trust in him. If you're at that point and you have not yet been baptized, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to something in just a minute. Think about that as we pray. Father, thank you so much for the amazing way that you love us. Thank you that you are our Father. That when we receive Jesus, when we give our life to you, we receive you as our Father forever. And that's an amazing, amazing truth. Thank you that you are infinitely powerful and infinitely wise, infinitely loving, and infinitely good and righteous. And we ask that there would be a shift that would start tonight in us, that we would be people who pray first, that we would turn to you first in everything, always going to you, and that our relationship would grow and increase. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.